Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv Escana for immigration.com, the law offices of Rajiv Escana, PC. Today is April 7th, 2011, Thursday. This is a community conference call that we conduct every other week on Thursdays to answer questions from the community. The purpose of this call is merely to disseminate information. This does not necessarily imply any kind of attorney-client relationship. There are no obligations placed upon us to represent you, nor upon you to be represented by us. The purpose of this call is merely for information. Also, bear in mind that this call is being recorded, so if you speak with me, you may want to keep your identities confidential. That said, we have quite a few questions today, so I will not be able to take any new questions, but we will be able to handle all the existing questions. Let me just get into the... Give me one second while I get into the questions. Okay, here we go. April 7th conference call questions. Question number one is from community member AKM0048. This gentleman has, or lady, has had a labor cert filed with 2 years experience mentioned on the ETA 9089, but the required experience is only 1 year. So he's been able to get, or she's been able to get, a letter of experience covering only 1 year and 6 months, but not the whole 2 years stated on schedule on part K of the 9089. Since you are requiring only 1 year experience, I think you will be okay. I don't think you're going to have any problem. So it appears to me you should be fine. Next question is from Karen in Karen in LC. I can't tell for sure. That's what it sounds like. The question is about recent death of mother has left foreign stepchildren abandoned. What happened is that United States citizen is married to a lawful permanent resident from Honduras. So the LPR's former spouse died, so her children, aged 6, 11, and 13, are left abandoned in Honduras. Question is, how do we bring them here? Well, you know, you can try for a tourist visa, but you as the United States citizen can treat your stepchildren as your own children. So I don't think it's going to be a problem for you to apply directly for their green card, you as the United States citizen. They should be here within a few months. So might try that, and you can also try a tourist visa first. Okay. Sai for GC. Sai, the problem is your questions are pretty complicated. I'm not sure I can handle them in a community call, but I will try my best. But this is going to be a very rudimentary effort, simply because this requires some major analysis of what's going on. Let me double check. Employer A, you were with them. Everything got denied, but you had a 485 with them. Then employer B started a separate green card process. They applied for a green card, then transferred H-1 to this company. I-140 approved. Then you received a letter that they reopened your 485 case. Now, that's what bothers me. I think once the old I-140 is declined, then the I-485 is also gone. And if you want to use AC-21, it turns out later on that your 485 was not valid, or it was reopened by mistake by USCIS. You could end up losing the benefit of AC-21. Which is quite problematic. So I think one of the things you need to talk to your lawyer is about refiling a 485 for you. And then after that I-485 has been filed and it's been pending 180 days, then you become relatively safe to do an AC-21. This is what it appears to me. And again, I've looked at your case. Not quite sure if I'm giving the right advice, but it appears to me, this is what it appears, and this is what I understood of your facts. You had an employer, A, who started your green card They had I-140, 485 both going. Everything got denied, motion to reopen, appeal, everything got denied. Then when you started your I-140 through the second employer after doing their green card, they USCIS sent you a letter saying that your old 485 has been reopened. That's what bothers me. I don't think they can do that. Okay, so that 485 is very questionable. I would be concerned about that. That is the reason I'm asking you to refile the 485. And you can do that even when the current process is going, even the current 485 is going. Next question is Adnan Hashmi. Adnan, the problem with you is since you did work without authorization in a place where you were not supposed to work, getting reinstatement into student status appears to be a very, very long shot because you have some issues here that are pretty problematic. The best we can advise you under the circumstances is somehow to regularize your status by going outside USA and coming back in again. Coming back in again on a student visa would be tough. Only thing you can hope for is an H-1. Since you worked without authorization, this has created all kinds of problems. Next question is from VKML. He wants to apply for his brother. And their surnames, which is the family names, are spelled a little differently. Well, Wenki, this is a known problem because our Indian names are spelled differently in our local languages. Then when we try to spell them in English, naturally the names are going to be spelled differently, and there's a lot of latitude here because what we are doing is we are doing phonetic spellings. For example, Rajiv, my name, can be spelled R-A-J-I-V, R-A-J-I-V-E, R-A-J-E-E-V, R-A-J-E-E-V-E. They're all correct. Okay? So USCIS is aware of these issues. I don't think this should create a big, big problem for you. Okay? Next question is age Javeri, H-1B extension. My H-1B and I-94 have both expired. Employer had applied for H-1B, for which I got an RFE. Now, my concern is, was your H-1B extension applied before your I-94 expired? Because if it was not, you could be in a very dangerous situation. If, however, the employer applied for your H-1 extension within the life of your I-94, you should be okay. If the response to the RFE is not filed on or before the due date, how many days do I have to leave USA? You have to leave USA immediately upon receipt of the denial. There is no grace period in both scenarios, whether you do not respond to the RFE and get a denial or you respond to the RFE and get a denial. In both these cases, there is no grace period. You've got to leave as soon as you can. Okay? Next question is Gaurav Gupta K. He's got a 221G, and then his visa was denied, which is absolutely the most idiotic reason I have seen. And consulates are doing this, and it's very annoying to see this dumb reason that says your petitioner does not appear to be either able or willing to provide qualifying employment. I mean, after spending thousands of dollars, they give you this nonsense reason that means nothing. Well, you're stuck with it. The question is, what do we do? What is the best way to get back? F-1? No. F-1 is absolutely the lousiest way. Would changing the employers help? Yes. You can transfer your H-1B or even file for a new H-1B. How does it matter? Because you were on H-1B extension anyway. So you're not subject to the quota. Then approval notice was sent back. Is my H-1B still valid? H-1B is not valid, at least it's on its way to revocation. Typically what happens is when the consulate sends the H-1B back to the USCIS, USCIS will then send a notice of intent to revoke to your employer, giving them 30 days, stating that some information was developed by the consulate based upon which USCIS believes they want to revoke the case. So, you know, basically the case gets revoked if they don't respond satisfactorily to the government. Okay? So you can always change employers. I don't see any problem with that. Sabah 303 says, in case GC is approved during interview, how long USCIS takes to send it? By it, I mean, you must mean the physical green card. A few months, probably between 2 and 6 months. Can one travel out of country if approval is stamped on the passport? Yes. If your passport has been stamped with a, usually the stamp says, approved for permanent residence, temporary proof of permanent residence, processed for I-551, something like that it will say. Basically, which means you are pretty much done. The only thing that remains to be done is for you to get the physical green card. So, yes, that stamp is as good as a green card. Okay? Next question is from Mani Ramasamy, who wants to know about a new job opportunity. Okay. Company Y just came out of Chapter 11. Company X have sponsored his green card. And obviously his 485 is also pending. So can I join Company Y? The question is, you can join Company Y, but the jobs have to be same or similar. Okay, so that AC-21 should be evaluated whether that's a good option for you. Okay, I'm not sure because I don't know what the two job descriptions are. So the fact that they just came out of Chapter 11 is not a problem for AC-21, but it could be a problem potentially for doing a new green card if that becomes necessary. Now, if the two jobs are similar, then chances of you having to do it again are small. Okay? So just get your AC-21 checked out, whether you can qualify for AC-21 between those two jobs. That would be very, very important. Next question is from Desi08540, who is worried. They have been a U.S. citizen for 5 years, but they noticed that their original I-140 approval was probably approved under EB-2 category, which was a mistake. They should have been EB-3. However, in 2000, when they applied for 485, it did not matter because both EB-3 and EB-2 were current. So the question is, do we need to worry about anything? The answer is no, because I don't see this going to be any issue. See, remember one thing. When you have been naturalized, to take away naturalization, the USCIS has to go through a federal court proceeding. And there's got to be some good ground. This does not appear to be a case anybody would want to take to a federal court. I wouldn't worry about it. I think you're going to be just fine. Okay. Can they revoke green card after it is approved? Well, you are a citizen now. It's not. They can revoke, of course, and they could even denaturalize, but not in cases like this. This is their own error, and the error is meaningless because both categories were current anyway. So don't worry. You're fine. Next question is Ahi Landscape. He had his interview, or she had an interview. Then they needed some court paperwork, and the court paperwork was sent. So the question is, how soon are they going to get back to me? Now, the answer is, we don't know that. We don't know that. If you want to follow up on the case, the best way to do that is through your congressman's office. So just call your congressman's office and tell them to follow up on the case. Okay. Next question is Erica Skyle. Erica Skyle. I changed my address online, but the notice of action for RFE was returned to USCIS. They called, it's been 4 weeks already, I did not receive anything yet from them. I would advise you to contact your congressman's office as well. Tell them to help you with this. Next question is Moise ZHB, who says, doing my master's, now joining PhD, wife applied for F2 and got rejected in Jan 11. At the time of interview, she had I-20 for master's. now I'm enrolled in a PhD program. Well, my question to you would have been, why was she declined? Because I'm not sure what was the rejection reason. I don't see why she should apply for B1, B2 visa. I think she should apply for F2 again now that you're a PhD student. And let's see how that goes. If the denial of the F2 was basically because there was very little time left on your F1, I can understand that. Okay? But it's not clear from your question if that was the reason for denial. If indeed that was the only reason, the fact that you're now in PhD should more than take care of that problem. So go ahead and have her apply for an F2 again. Rhythm 710 says, I am LPR, green card in July 2009, got married to an Indian citizen. The problem is, how do I bring him here as quickly as possible? Well, ma'am, there is no way other than an H1 or an L1. Okay? You have to be apart unless the priority dates pick up or unless he can enter USA on an H1 or an L1 type visa. Okay? So, next question is BSAC, who wants to know EB2 work experience certificate requirements. Employer is preparing to file for my EB2 perm. I have 8 years of experience. The requirements are bachelor's with 5. Since I'm not able to get all the work experience details catered to some of my previous employers, the available ones just have the position start and dates, doesn't have the details of skills and tools. Well, you need to have all the skills and tools that you are going to be asked to, you know, if, for example, if you're an IT guy and you say the job requires experience with WebSphere, Java, J2EE on a Unix platform, then you've got to have those exact skills stated in your experience letters. If you don't, you've got a problem. So ideally, this is a very difficult question to answer. Obviously, if you don't have the experience letters containing all your skills, you've got a problem. Now, let's say you have 8 years of experience, but you can document only 5 years, and the job only requires 5 years. There's no problem. You don't have to document the whole 8 years. You only have to document whatever you qualify for. I hope this helps. Next question is from Andrew G.C., who has a question about reentry permit. Trip for 6 months and between 6 months and 1 year, it may go over a year. Should I apply for reentry permit? Absolutely, yes. If I apply for reentry permit and I come back within the year, should I use my GC to enter or should I use reentry permit? You should use your reentry permit. Does using the reentry permit affect naturalization? No, but it can actually, not negatively, it could actually affect it positively. My advice to you would be, if possible, avoid being outside for a year. Make it less than a year because that has an effect on your citizenship. Leaving aside the issue of I-131 reentry permit, just the fact that you're going to be outside for more than a year has an effect on your naturalization. So you may want to come back at least within a year. But apply for a reentry permit, I feel that is very, very important. Okay, this is an impossible issue to cover in the time that we have and the forum that we have. We can answer brief questions, but this requires at least a good 15 minutes to 20 minutes discussion, maybe more. So I'm not going to be able to help you much, Amy Ravs. I'll do my best, but I can only give you generic guidelines here. Currently on H-1B, which is valid till July 2013. Company X is almost on the verge of bankruptcy. I-140 has been filed, upgraded to premium. Okay, trying to get my H-1 transferred. Company Y has agreed to transfer my H-1B, and the attorney has indicated that the approved I-140 with previous Company X can be used to request 3 years of H-1B with a new company. That's correct. My old company has assured me that they will retain the I-140 status, but your I-140 is not even approved yet, okay? Unless it is approved, you've got nothing. You don't carry your priority date. You don't have anything else. Company Y has agreed to start my GC immediately. Is it advisable? Yes, of course. You don't need to wait until the H-1B is transferred. So the company Y will have to go through PERM and I-140 refiling again. They should. That's the safest thing to do anyway. When GC processing through company Y reaches I-140 level, will I be able to port the original PD? Yes. If the I-140 is approved, absolutely yes. No problem. Assuming that I-140 PD from original company X is carried to Y, what is the status of the I-140 PD from original company? Company X has promised to seek my services when they are back on their feet. Well, first of all, this is a little complicated because if the company becomes unable or unwilling to keep you anytime during the green card process, then there is an interruption in the green card, and that itself is unacceptable. So that green card is supposed to be a non-entity, no more in effect. In other words, if company X during any time became unable to keep you on board, their green card is gone. That's the way USCIS looks at it if they catch on to the fact that there was a gap. Okay? Now, the fifth question I cannot answer because that takes too long. Okay? That is one question I will not be able to answer. I want you to address that to your company lawyers or the lawyers you're working with. Okay? Or you can have a separate consultation with me, but I can't answer this question in this forum. Next question is from BSAC. H for extension after traveling on AP. My employer has applied for my H-1B extension and spouse's H-4 extension, I-539, I-45 pending. If I travel and enter on AP before getting an approval, will it be considered an abandonment of the H-1B? No, it would not be, because yours is an extension. Spouse has been on H-4, not use her EAD, has traveled and re-entered using AP. Can a 539 be filed for change of status from parolee to H-4? No. You cannot convert from parolee to H-4. But under the Cronin Memorandum, C-R-O-N-I-N, I think it was back 8 years ago, that it was stated if somebody with an H-1 enters on advanced parole, they are still considered to be on H-1, so they can apply for an H-1 extension, transfer, etc. We would assume that the same law holds good for H-4. So under Cronin Memorandum, she is not considered to be a parolee for H-4 extension purposes. She is still considered to be on H-4. So I think, okay. Can she travel when the 539 extension is pending? I think she can. And these are guesses because I'm not aware of anything that specifically covers the situation of H-4 people. Next question is Proud T. My brother is getting his U.S. passport in August. Can he file for me? Well, brother-based categories take about 11, 12, 13 years, and during that time, you cannot stay in USA, and you cannot get work authorization. So it doesn't really help you. It may help you in a decade or so, but it doesn't help you today. Next question from Chenji says, I am on H-1 and visa is good till September 11. He wants to go in June and come back in July. Would this be a problem? No, if you have a visa valid even for one day, technically they can allow you to enter without any issues, especially where you applied for an extension. And I think it's better to apply for an extension before you go. At least in my opinion. So you may want to do that. Okay? So the last question for today is from hard worker, Marion. Marion says, I've got my green card through employment about 4 months ago, but husband and I had to leave due to immigration-related matters. Was not my husband, but we lived together. Since then, I've been traveling a lot more to my home country. I'm staying longer because we have two children, and I do not want to keep them away from their father. This is where my concern is. I don't want to lose my green card. Reentry permit is what you're referring to. Reentry permit is a good way to go. The chances of getting approved for that are good. But basically, the way it works is that you have to be in USA when you apply for reentry permit. And then the best thing to do is to wait until they set you up for biometrics, which can take a few months, 2-3 months, maybe even 4. Then do your biometrics and then leave. If the reentry permit is approved, it will be sent to your home country. I would strongly advise you to discuss your case with a lawyer, simply because there are so many variations possible for people. And reentry permit is not the perfect solution to keep your green card. It is the only solution you have right now, but it is not the perfect solution. Okay, now I'm done with the questions that were posted. If anybody has a question for me that they want me to address, please press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Press 5-star on your phone. I've got 3 follow-ups so far, 4. Press 5-star and I can answer your question. Okay. I'm going to go with the order in which people logged in. The first one is from area code 412. Go ahead, please, 412.
Hi, Rajesh, sir. This is Prahadev.
Yes,
firstly,
sir.
I appreciate you helping all the Tri-Valley students.
Absolutely.
And this is... Thank you. This is more like an advice suggestion, not a question.
Okay.
So I got NTA. I have 2 options. Stay here. I did already apply for reinstatement before
okay.
I got my NTA.
Okay.
So there are 2 options for me. One is to stay until the reinstatement got approved or rejected. Second one is take a voluntary departure. I have a report.
One second. Voluntary departure is usually given only by court. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Usually. I mean, ICE has the power to do so if you catch them early enough. But once they forward the files to the court, then only the court can give you voluntary departure. So you have to wait for your court date.
Yes, but I have heard that, I have a reporting date on April 12th. And if I say I would like to go to India because of some emergency, they can give me a court date in the month of April. And I have heard that the only way to get voluntary departure is by accepting, pleading guilty.
Yes, that's exactly what voluntary departure is. It basically says USCIS is right, I was out of status, and I admit that I was out of status now, just let me go.
Okay, so I need your advice here because I have only 2 options and both are not great options. But, if I take a voluntary departure, will it create a bad record or will I be able to come back?
Personally, I don't think so. I mean, it's very obvious. The fact of the matter is, under the law, on 19th January, all Tri-Valley University students became illegal in USA. So I don't think we are doing ourselves a big harm by admitting that we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think it's a big deal.
So it will not, I mean, say I'm just only thinking about bar, like 5 years you don't come to US.
No, that bar doesn't apply like that. The 310 bar applies in the following way. It only applies once you have been, you are in unlawful presence. Unlawful presence for students whose I-94 is marked DS. If you look at your I-94, where it says date I-94 expires, it says DS. Anybody who has DS, their unlawful presence begins only if the court says that they are out of status, or USCIS, not ICE, USCIS says they're out of status. So let's say you apply for reentry, reinstatement. And 5 months later, USCIS says, you're out of, no, sir, we are declining your reinstatement, and from now on, you're out of status. So your unlawful presence begins on that date when they declined your reinstatement. Okay?
Okay?
So there's no question of a 310 bar for students whose I-94 say DS.
Okay. That sounds like a good news to me. And the last question, I'm repeating the same thing which I asked you before, that, I can take a voluntary departure and that will not create a big negative record on my record.
I don't think so. I don't think it's the end of the world. No, sir.
Thank you very, very much, Rajiv.
You're welcome.
And I'll update you after April 12th meeting. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Next question is from area code 404. Go ahead, please, 404.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hello.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Sai for GC.
Yes, Sai. Did I understand your facts right, that you have that old 485, which was denied along with the I-140, has been reopened?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, see, that is scary because if you look at USCIS ruling so far, they have always said that if the I-140 was invalid and there was a 485 filed with it, we'll consider that 485 to be gone along with the I-140. And it can only be revived if the I-140 is revived. Since the I-140 was never revived, but a new I-140 was filed, I'm very concerned that they might come back and say, oh, no, we made a mistake. And then you have a problem with your AC-21. So what?
So here I want to add a point. Like when I did a second time MTR appeal, and before denying that, so attorney, previous attorney, I used to have other attorney with my old company. They called, UCIS called and saying that, okay, this candidate got a new 140 and it came to my desk and the old one is pending for denial. So what I'm going to do, the new one looks good, so I'm going to deny the old one. I'm going to approve this one. So at the same time, the old one was denied and the new one was approved by the same officer. And he sent a letter.
In other words, within the life of the old I-140, before killing the old I-140, he attached the new I-140 with the old I-485. Is that what he did?
Exactly, exactly. The same officer was, fortunate that he'd gone to the same officer.
That they can do, okay? That is perfectly legal, but I, being the paranoid person that I am, would want you to be very, very careful and keep in mind that USCIS doesn't come back and say, oh, no, too bad, we can't really help you. We did a mistake. Remember, they are not bound by their errors. If they make a mistake, it's tough luck for you.
But they sent a letter saying that exactly what he told, he was going to do this one, and he sent it.
If you have something in writing, then there is no problem.
It has mentioned as a service motion opened by the officer, and he sent an official letter saying that, okay, we are going to attach like this, and your 485 is going to be in progress.
Then you have no problem, Sai. Then you're good to go.
So can I still get this 180-day rule because as the new one has been attached?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Because after that episode also, they reopened only myself and my kids and wife 485 is not open. So I took your advice and as per your advice, I contacted Senator and now all of them were reopened based on the old letter.
Excellent. Good.
So still I can believe that the mines is in correct position, right?
Yeah, it looks like, Sai. Yes, it looks like that you have all the bases covered. And what they have done, what USCIS has done, can be done legally. Within the life of the old I-140, if they take the 45 and put another I-140 on top of it, that's fine.
Yeah, that's what happened exactly.
Absolutely.
So he put the same thing on the paper and also he sent me an official letter also.
Then we have no problem. Good luck. That sounds good.
Okay, thank you. So I can go to the, I can join with the client, right?
Yes, because your 45 has been pending more than 180 days, and your I-140 is already approved.
Right, but the 140 is approved with the second employer, so if that makes any problem, like if I'm going to join and if this new employer pulls up my 140, it's going to affect again?
It should not, because it's been pending more than 180 days.
Yeah. Okay. So my second question, you didn't look at my second question in my that one. Like client is offering job with same duties in my GC labor with a different title and more pay. Is that a problem for my existing GC process?
It's difficult for me to predict that. How much more is the pay?
It's almost 30%.
And when was the second green card started?
Second 140 started in 2009.
Not 140, labor cert.
Labor certification 2008.
So 2008, and it's the 2008 labor cert was for the same city as your client is in?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So in 2 years, 30% raise, it's not impossible to defend that because 15% raise per year is not impossible. But you should check this with your lawyers. I think it's defendable. Whether or not in the circumstances of your case it's a good idea, check with your lawyers. I cannot comment about that.
Okay. Because as of now, this company don't have any lawyer. Only last time they filed with an from a lawyer assistant or something, and they have a seasonal lawyer. Sometimes they hire or something.
Get yourself a lawyer for the AC-21. I think it'll be important for you.
Okay. So if I join this client, I immediately apply for an AC-21, right?
Yes, sir. You should.
Okay. And my EID was only 2 months. If I plan to join on the EID, is better, or even my client is offering H1 also. So which one is better for me?
H1.
H1 is better for me. Okay. All right. And even if I go India on my advanced payroll, is that bothers me? Like if I only 2 months EID, so while coming back, they may object me or anything?
That is no problem.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rajiv. I appreciate for your questions, and thanks for your help all the way. Every time for my questions.
Sure. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I'm unmuting somebody from area code 704. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Raju. Thank you for taking the questions. Yeah. I think it's same like the previous guy asked. Like I mentioned, you know, I'm moving from developer position to architect position in a new company. But they came out of bankruptcy right now.
I said that bankruptcy is not a problem for AC-21. It can be a problem for redoing the green card if you ever end up redoing it.
They don't have any plan to file new GC.
The problem is then the only thing that needs to be assessed is, since bankruptcy should not be a problem, the only thing that needs to be assessed is whether or not the two jobs are substantially same or similar.
It's in the same platform, for example, in a Java developer to Java.
Platform doesn't matter. It's the nature of the job.
Okay.
For example, let's say if you're an Oracle administrator and you become a MySQL administrator, even though the platform has changed, in my opinion, it's the same job.
Okay.
But if you became from an Oracle system administrator to a Oracle developer, that's a different job.
Okay, this is more
now,
like a developer.
Now, here the platform is the same, but the job has changed.
Gotcha. It's exactly from developer to architect position, actually.
See, developer to architect doesn't mean much, because a developer can be an architect, too. The difference between an architect and a developer normally understood is this, that a developer does mostly coding. An architect does mostly design. Okay?
Design, right.
I really cannot answer that question. You need to get yourself a lawyer who can take a look at the two jobs and decide whether these two jobs can be defended.
But if the new company can do the same labor certification like the old one did, then
you're okay, but it's got to be done truthfully. You can't make things up. If it is truthfully the same, no problem. They can give you the same job. Perfect.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, the last question of the day, area code 917. Go ahead, please, 917.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Andrew here for the reentry permit.
Yes, sir.
My question is, if a reentry permit, when it's approved 4 or 5 months down the road, because that's what USCIS says, it takes the processing time on their side, do you have to use the reentry permit to come back? Let's say if you come back within 3 or 4 months.
No, you do not. There is no such requirement.
So the reentry permit is just like an insurance that if you do go over a year outside, use that. If not, use your card.
Well, what I do is if I go over 6 months, I produce the reentry permit.
So you would recommend 6 months as the cutoff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Okay. Should I use an attorney to file this, or you think I could do it on my own?
You could do it on your own, but I don't like to fool around with green cards. I think you should get yourself a lawyer. It's worth it.
Okay, do it that way. Now, would a second option, I don't know if you recommend this, let's say if I do like 7-8 months outside, come back for a month or so and go 7-8 months outside again?
No, that's the same problem. They can pick your green card if you do that.
If you do that, so you bring a re-entry permit and however long you're outside, over 6 months, you use the re-entry permit under 6 years.
I think that's the right thing to do for you.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Good luck, sir. It looks like somebody else just raised their hand. Let me just get to them. This is area code 630. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Rajiv.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. So my question is not in one of your questions.
That's
is
all
it
right.
Okay to ask a question now?
You can ask any questions. No problem.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, this is from one of my friends where I'm currently working. A company has done his H-1, but he's on F-1 status, and we did his premium processing last month, and his F-1 got expired on March 29th. And, I just wanted to just check that since, he has been, out of status out of 29th, and before that itself we did premium, and his case is still under review under RFE, do we need to run his payroll for, like, March 30th, that one day that he's been out of status? I mean, because he's officially joined us on 30th because his status got over on 29th.
Okay, no, wait, I'm confused. You're talking about somebody who was an OPT.
Right? No, not an OPT. He was on F-1, student visa.
So when he was on F-1, how did he start work?
No, he was not working. We did his F-1 to an H-1.
Okay. So you...
He had an earlier H-1 before this. He had an H-1. He did a change of status to F-1. And then we filed for a change of status in February 14th, 2011, and his case is under RFE right now.
Okay. For the
H-1. But his F-1, which he had from his university, has expired on 29th of March.
Okay. So?
So my question to you is, if we are going to run his payroll in our company...
How are you running his payroll? He doesn't have authorization to work.
Right, but when we apply for H-1, right, we get a receipt number and he can start working for our company?
That is definitely debatable. There are lawyers who have said, and there was actually an INS indication many years ago that they consider this kind of work to be okay, but I've never seen a confirmation of that. I have never seen
okay.
a confirmation of that in the last several years. The issue is this. There is no doubt if you are an H-1 and you apply for an H-1 transfer, you can start working as soon as the case is filed. Okay?
Right.
However, does the same hold true when you went from H-1 to F-1 and now when applying for H-1 you are on F-1 country? Can you still join the new employer? And the answer is, we don't know.
Okay.
Not a clear-cut case. No.
But since it's...
Assuming that you are right and it's okay for him to start working as soon as the case is filed, I don't see any problem because if you read the AC-21 provisions, they permit you to start working upon filing of the case, not necessarily the receipt. So if you're being aggressive, you might as well be aggressive all the way and say the moment the case is received by USCIS, even if they issue the receipt 5 days later, he's okay to start working the moment the case was received.
Okay. And my just follow-up question on this is, if his H-1, which is under RFE processing, under premium processing, which we'll know in the next 5 days, if it gets rejected, then his F-1 has already expired on 29th March, and he won't have an H-1 from our company. So he's in no man's land now. Now, he has any grace period to apply for any university or a new H-1, sir?
No grace period. He's out of luck. He would have to leave USA right away.
Okay, so there's no grace period at all?
No, sir.
And if we open an MTR, then also he can still be with us?
No, MTR or appeal gives him no right to stay in USA.
So he has to leave immediately?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. That's all I wanted to ask you, sir. All right.
Good to you, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, do you have anything else, sir? You were about to say something?
No, no. That's all I had.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. I'm stopping the call and I'm stopping the recording. It was good talking to all of you, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye now.